It can take years to recover from trauma, even a lifetime. And the standard treatment is therapy, which usually means a lot of talking. But what if you spent hours and hours talking? You've told your story to therapists and support groups, and you still feel bad. Psychiatrist Bessel van der Kolk is a pioneer in the field of trauma research. In his work, and in his book, The Body Keeps the Score, he focuses on the physical effects of trauma. He told Steve Paulson that for some survivors, getting back in touch with the body is the key to healing.
Well, we are our bodies, and in our culture, we forget it. We are animals, and so if we get scared or we're threatened, we secrete stress hormones to get us out of the way to fight back. And if we are trapped, immobilized, can't do anything, those stress hormones keep pounding your body to run and to move and keep you in a state of great agitation. But that agitation then becomes sort of divorced from the original idea, and your body continues to stay in a constant state of threat.
So how does trauma affect our senses, how we respond to the world?
Well, trauma causes our senses to become firstly hyper-acute, very reactive to sounds and lights and touch and various physical stimuli. And then as this goes on, the body sort of desperately tries to calm that down. Many people use drugs, alcohol, to try to do that. Actually, it's probably the single most important cause of drug addiction and alcoholism is a traumatized body that tries to calm itself down. Many people manage to do that without alcohol or drugs, and they just shut off their relationship to their body. One of the effects of trauma, maybe, is that you go through life feeling like a zombie.
Well, you tell a fascinating story in your book of a patient you call Sherry, who was getting a foot massage and apparently had some startled reaction when she realized that the therapist had her hands on her feet.
Yeah, it's really very startling to me also to discover the degree to which traumatized people have a very distorted relationship to their bodies. Feel nothing. That whole part of their bodies basically are missing.
How could they not? I mean, if someone is massaging your feet, how could you not feel that?
All you need is to shut down your perceptual system in your brain, and you don't feel it. And your brain just learns how to shut down those sensations. All these strange reactions start off as ways in which people try to defend themselves and deal with the horror that's happening to them. But if it continues, then it makes you very ill-equipped to deal with daily life. And this is very much what happens with soldiers, for example, is that your brain gets reorganized to deal with threat. But you become very oblivious to anything else. Hmm. Nothing means anything to you but the very thing that has caused you pain. And so you get this strange paradox. People get really trapped in that in a terrible way.
Yeah. So what do you do when you see people like this who come in to see you looking for help?
Well, I think most of all, you need to wake yourself up to the present. It's very useful to do things that make people feel alive in the present in their bodies, like singing. We do a lot of yoga. I think martial arts might be helpful. Anything that makes your body feel alive right now, but that's not connected with the trauma per se, so you don't reactivate all the same old circuits again.
Well, you've also done a lot of work with EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. Could you explain how that works?
Well, a very strange technique. About 25 years ago, Francine Shapiro discovered that if you move your eyes back and forth while you think about a very bad event, that event sort of calms itself down. And that eventually became EMDR. And actually, I did some National Institute of Health funded research on that method, being quite skeptical about it initially. And we had fantastic results, actually.
Just moving your eyes back and forth as you're thinking about this traumatic
thing
that happened?
As you call up the memories, what you saw, what you heard, what you smelled, what you felt in your body, what you were thinking, and you move your eyes from side to side, something starts shifting. And what it looks like happens here is it's very similar to what happens when you dream, when you also move your eyes back and forth. it consolidates memories and attaches us to other things that's happened in your life. When you get traumatized, a number of different brain circuits and brain regions that you need to put an event behind you go offline. When you're so hyper aroused and terrified in a state of horror, that capacity of the brain to integrate the event, to be able to say, it's over, you know, it was really awful, but now I'm back with my family, I'm back home, and I'm okay. That capacity is interfered with, and it seems like EMDR is one method by which you can bring those brain regions online that you need in order to make a differentiation between things happening now and things having happened a long time ago.
If I were to come into your office, what would you do? How would you do that with me sitting right there?
First of all, I want to get to know you a little bit, so we feel somewhat comfortable with each other. And then I'd say, become very quiet and just say, just sit in your chair and evoke the scene of what happened back then. And they don't ask you to talk about it. One of the great problems with verbal therapy is that the moment you start talking about these terrible things, your body tends to get hijacked and to feel like it's happening all over again. So one of the important things here is to be very quiet and to say, just notice in your mind what happened back then. And then you ask people to go into these eye movements. My hunch is that in hypnosis you can do the same thing, but very few people are doing hypnosis anymore these days. But you go into sort of a trance state, and in the trance state you can sort of rework that memory, and it becomes a memory. Because in the culture, people talk about trauma as an event that happened a long time ago. But in fact, what the trauma is the imprints that that event has left on your mind and in your sensations. The discomfort you feel and the agitation you feel and the rage and the helplessness that is happening right now. And so it's all located in the landscape of your body.
That's remarkable.
It is remarkable. Yeah.
It sounds like you're saying that by doing this, you are kind of draining the emotion out of those memories. I mean, it's not as if you're erasing the memories, but you're sort of turning them into normal memories again.
You're turning them into, and that's what we see and that we can document actually in our research, is that before we do these things, people see it, they hear it, they feel it in their bodies, very overwhelmed by it. And after it's over, they say, yeah, this is what happened back then on March 3rd, 1948 or whenever. And then I was a little kid and now I'm a different person now.
Wait, are you saying just after one session of EMDR can happen?
No. It depends on many different things. The more acute the trauma is, the more efficiently this works. For example, a number of my colleagues saw people who were affected by the Boston Marathon. And within one or two sessions, just it became like, boy, I went through a really bad experience, but I'm safe now. And I see this in my office quite a bit. It's a very gratifying to see people just come to life and say, hey, I'm alive. Thank you very much. They shake your hand and walk out. Okay. But you know,
it's a little hard to believe.
It's hard, a little bit hard to believe, and it's almost too good to be true. But this is what we see in acute trauma quite a bit.
Have you tried EMDR yourself?
I've tried everything I do. So I do many different methods, EMDR. I'm a great fan, advocate, researcher of yoga. Yoga is a great way of helping people to get in touch with their body, feeling alive in their body, regulate their physiological arousal.
Are these kinds of practices, are they good for everyone?
Well, you know, if you don't have PTSD, I see no reason to do EMDR. But yoga, I think I'm a better person for doing it. I think I'm quieter, more mindful, more tolerant. It's very interesting that the whole culture is, we start off in a Western tradition. The Western tradition is yakking and drugs.
Well, the Western tradition has sort of cut the mind off from the body, right?
Right. There's also a deep belief that as long as you can talk, things will get better. And talking can be enormously important, but it's very interesting to go to China and India and Japan and to see that they have long traditions doing Qigong, Tai Chi, yoga. And it's very clear to me that those methods were all invented in those cultures to help people with trauma.
it's kind of amusing to hear a psychiatrist talking about the limits of yakking, of talk therapy.
Well, of course, there's much more extreme people in my profession who believe that you should only give people drugs. No, I think talking is important, but most importantly, befriending yourself, allowing yourself to feel what you feel, and becoming safe in your body is the most important thing in overcoming trauma.
Psychiatrist Bessel van der Kolk is the author of The Body Keeps the Score, Brain, Mind, and Body in the Healing of Trauma. He and Steve also talked quite a bit about yoga and trauma. You can hear the rest of their conversation on our website at ttbook.org.